roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio, the only show broadcasting live from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
What is up, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goz reporting for duty here on a Monday. It is the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the official podcast of the five-time winner for Best Media Source at the World MMA Awards, MMA Junkie, Junkie Radio. We also got a Blamos MMA. Got to give them some love as well. They're official too. That's right. Yeah. All right, folks. It is a Monday, and we are going to recap the events that took place this past weekend. Bellator 252 in the books. Their champion, Patricio Pitbull Frady, he got a win and defended his title, as he also simultaneously advanced in the Featherweight Grand Prix. He's in the semis now. We'll talk about that card. His opponent also, Emmanuel Sanchez defeated Daniel Weichel. We'll talk about that as well. Then the next, 2 days later, UFC. That's right. UFC Fight Night 183 in the books. It also took place. Rafael Dos Anjos defeated Paul Felder in the main event. We'll talk about that, the fallout from that. We also got one of the fighters from that card, Chaos Williams. He dispatched of Abdul Razak Al-Hassan in less than 30 seconds. Plus, lots of news to go over. Gina Carano's making waves. Alexander Volkov versus the Ream. Carlos Condit versus Matt Brown. Like those? I got one more for you. Alexander Rakic versus Thiago Santos. That's right. All going down in 2021. The UFC was busy making some good fights over the weekend. All right, folks, buckle up. It's MMA Junkie Radio on a Monday, November 16th.
Hola, amigos. Danny Segura dropping in. Just wanted to let you know about MMA Junkie's latest podcast. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language show dedicated to all things professional fighting. Each Monday, we recap the major events from the weekend, plus we analyze the week's biggest news. We also bring you exclusive interviews with the best fighters, coaches, and experts in the Hispanic and Latin American scene. You can find Hablemos MMA every Monday morning on your favorite podcasting platform. Suscríbete y nos hablamos pronto. Ciao.
All right, Chaos Williams, our guest, will join us at 9:30 a.m. Pacific, 12:30 a.m. Eastern. We are live, like we always are, on Mondays. Tell a friend about the show here on Sportscaster. Sportscaster.com/MMA Junkie. Goes, how about Rafael Dos Anjos versus Paul Felder? They went the whole five rounds. My man Paul Felder, who stepped up on 7 day notice, he had a gas tank. He came out on the losing end, but I still thought he performed very admirably.
I thought that outcome, to me, I thought it was going to be impossible for that fight to go five rounds. Paul Felder's a stud. He took the fight on short notice. But anybody who ever does that, they'll say, hey, I'm still in good shape. But there's a difference between training in a training camp for something in particular and just being in good shape. So for him to go not only five rounds, but to also challenge RDA, to hurt RDA, I thought that was just one of the most impressive things I've ever seen in the UFC for a guy to just do that. And don't forget, people, this is a Paul Felder that not too long ago was talking about retirement, you know? So when you put all of those ingredients in, I just figured we'd get it maybe a good first round, maybe two out of them. And then after that, RDA, he's just so much pressure. I thought that fight would be over, but dude, Paul battled. I mean, you got it. That was all heart.
He says he's not retiring either. He made that very clear because I think everybody was hanging on and going, okay, we hear you, you know, as he was doing his post-fight speech. But he made that clear, said he had a lot of fun, And, you know, I feel like he's been revived for about another 2 to 3 fight run to see what he can do. Because guess what, folks? I don't think his stock's going to drop too much. For one, Rafael dos Anjos is a former champion in the lightweight division. Went up to welterweight and got all the way up to a title shot, an interim welterweight title shot. But still, he made a little bit of noise. Now he's dropping back, and kudos to him. We'll get to him in just a second. But Paul Felder, he took a loss against the guy who, look under the hood. I'm telling you, the rankings are going to come out tomorrow. And Dos Anjos left top 5. He's coming in about number 7. We're still talking about it behind the scenes, but he's going to come in, and he's already going to be a contender. He looked good, man, because Paul Felder, you know, training camp or not, still is Paul Felder. He owned a 5-fight win streak before losing a close one to Dan Hooker. And he just went, you know, the distance with Rafael dos Anjos. So both guys couldn't be more proud of him. They saved the card, possibly. Who knows? There was rumblings that the card may just go away because they had no main event when Islam Makhachev dropped off a week ago today. But Paul Felder stepped up. He was already in town. He was going to commentate on the fights. It wasn't Bisping's gig. It was Felder's gig. Well, to be fair, I don't know. Maybe they're going to have a 3-man booth. I don't know. But Felder, I know, was going to be part of the team. And he said, you know what? I've been training for this triathlon. I'm actually in pretty good shape. Let's do it. And goes, how about at the end when Paul Felder kind of scolded part of the UFC roster, not just the ones that missed weight, by the way, and either couldn't compete or just missed weight, but he also was, I think, letting everyone else know who's missed weight in the last few weeks, months, maybe even years. Start buckling down, start manning and womaning up. No excuses, because this man just did it. He got all the way down to 156 on 7-day notice, really 6-day, because you have to weigh in the day before. He said he went through hell, but he said he wanted to prove a point. He didn't want to, you know, fall back on that excuse. RDA only wanted opponents at 155 pounds. And so Paul Felder signed on the dotted line. He kept his word, said he went through hell. Can't emphasize that enough, but he got it done. And then he came back and went 25 minutes again with RDA, folks. You know, I loved hearing that speech. He goes, it was really, really motivating. And I hope a few fighters took inventory in themselves. The ones that may, they know, goes. The ones that don't make weight and kind of tell you, yeah, this or that or whatever. They had some slip-ups along the way. They know it. I think they feel like they get a pass or two, you know, like, hey, come on, officer, you really going to give me a ticket? You know, they've kind of been speeding all their lives, and finally they just got caught. Well, guess what? There's a lot of professionals out there that they just don't miss weight.
I think every family has that one member where when you get scolded by them, they're just so honorable and such a good person that you go, I must have screwed up. Whatever happened here, this is probably on me. Paul Felder's one of those guys. I think he's developed enough seniority in the cage, out of the cage, with his training partners, even on a broadcast booth. I mean, the dude's had a pretty remarkable career. So he's one of those guys where I think if he scolds you, you got to listen. Now, granted, there's going to be a couple people that have probably missed weight, and they have legit reasons, you know? But that's not always the case. In fact, most of the time, it's not. And most fighters will actually agree to that. You know, I made a mistake. I could have done this better. I could have done that better. So it was good for him to do that. I think it's a little wake-up call for everyone because it had happened so regularly that I think that little bit of shame that used to come with missing weight sort of went away, you know, especially when people would start doing catch weights and this and that. Like, I think that little shame that we used to see early in the UFC when a guy would miss weight, it went away because of all that. And I think Paul kind of brought it back a little bit. I like that.
Yeah, me too. You know, and think of it this way, folks. Usually we'll go with the standard 20%. Fighters can actually negotiate that behind the scenes. Hey, you really want to fight me? Sorry, give me 40%. But 20% is the standard. If you make 50 and 50, meaning 50 to show and 50 to win, well, they can tax you 20% off your show money. 20% of 50,000 is 10,000. So if you really want that dessert with 2 weeks left outside of camp or that barbecue, you know, when you know you shouldn't, you're even saying, I shouldn't, All just have to run extra laps. Is that a $10,000 piece of barbecue chicken or a steak? You know, if you put it that way, then you might just say no. And look, I know fighters make the ultimate sacrifice for weeks on end, but that's just their job. And they get all the glory as well. You know, a lot of us punch the clock every day and we come home and there's not people asking for pictures and autographs. There's not bonuses waiting in our mailboxes or anything. That's something prize fighters get, you know what I mean? But with that, there does come some sacrifices. And guess what? Some fighters have gotten cut from just frequently missing weight and not being professional. So I loved hearing Paul Felder say that. And Goes is right. He said it in a way that I don't think it was too offensive.
But you know what? There has been a change in the culture, and not just the UFC, just all around. There was a time where if you missed weight and you won your fight, you normally wouldn't celebrate, you know, like you wouldn't be jumping off the cage and all that, because the fighter had this hurt pride of not making weight, like almost an embarrassment a little bit. And in the last 2 years, that's changed, man. There's been guys that have missed weight, come in, knock someone out, and they're just as happy. And that, what does that tell you? That tells you either the culture's changed or maybe the punishment isn't severe enough. But a fighter realistically probably shouldn't feel that way on fight night if they get that type of – I mean, it's okay to be happy you won, but I don't know if you should be out there celebrating, because really, to me, that's almost not – a true representation of a fair fight. One guy had to sacrifice to get there. The other guy didn't have to sacrifice as much, you know?
And he may have dehydrated his brain and his body, you know, a little bit more or a lot more than you did when you decided to pull the plug. Thereby, you rehydrated faster. And maybe those exchanges where maybe you would have gone out wound up being, you know, exchanges that you survived. But when you put one on the guy or gal who took the fight, who did do the sacrifice, is getting 20% of your pay, agreed to do it. We're all adults here. I get that. But still, you know, I think some fighters think it through that way. They're sitting there and they're like, I can't take it anymore. Okay, I'll pay the 20%. I'll take home 80 of my 100 pay instead of 20. But at least I have a better chance of winning that 100 or that 80 out of 20. Then if I continue to, yeah, it becomes like a math problem, you know, a business transaction. Whereas if I go and I'm depleted, I may lose the fight and I'm only going to get 50% of my pay. So I hear you, Goes. Maybe make that tax a little higher. And each commission's different, but from what I know, I believe anywhere in the world you can negotiate and go 20%? No, player, 50% or 40% or whatever, you know. Now, if you go too much, they might just go, I just can't do it. You know, I'm not going to fight. And then it's up to the UFC if they're going to pay you or not, depending where you guys and gals are at in the cut process, when this happened throughout the week. Plus, you want to fight. You know, you do want to fight. So sometimes you're willing to just, all right, what is it, a pound or two? Is that going to make a difference? You know, I don't know. But still, weight cutting is a whole complicated deal, man. Mm-hmm. I think in the end, what we're trying to say is just do it. You know, get. That's what you agreed to. I'm sure the matchmaker goes, hey, all you got is 7 days. Can you make it? You got a chance to think about it, you know. It's not Family Feud. You only got 25 seconds. There's a buzzer and another one comes in. No, I'm sure you can say, give me a minute or so. Let me talk to my nutritionist, my coaches. And well, I want to make a sane decision. Yeah.
That's the other thing is the UFC's done their part, right? They got the UFCPI. You can walk in there. They do all kinds of tests on you to tell you where you should be and what you need to do to maintain your weight and to keep you in a healthy spot. The UFC's done their part. It's on the fighters now.
Yeah, definitely. Let's go through the card right quick. And again, Chaos Williams defeating Abdul Razak Al-Hassan. Williams will be a guest of ours here in about 10 minutes, 9:30 a.m. Pacific, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Ashley Yoder defeated Miranda Granger. Sean Strickland defeated Brendan Allen. Corey McKenna defeated Kay Hansen. Kanako Murata defeated Randa Marcos. Tony Gravely defeated Geraldo DeFritis. Alex Morano defeated Reese McKee. And Dontel Mays defeated Roque Martinez. The bonuses went to Fight of the Night, Paul Felder and Rafael Dos Anjos. We'll probably be calling them RDA the rest of the show. 50,000 each. Abdul Al-Hazan, excuse me, 50,000 to Williams, Chaos Williams for knocking out Abdul Razak Al-Hassan, and 50,000 to Sean Strickland for knocking out Brendan Allen. So those are your bonuses. Obviously, we're not even going to go down that road. Zero in attendance, zero gate for the UFC. 2 days before that, Bellator was in action. Actually, real quick, goes any reaction to any of those fights? Anything stand out?
You know, I thought the card overall was just, it was fun to watch, but when you don't have enough fights that mean something, in other words, this fight is the winner of this is going to face this or take the next step up, there weren't enough of those on there for me. And especially when you got other sports now going, you know, college football and stuff to keep your mind occupied. It was a good card. It took a lot of hits, you know, matchup wise, but I just need more fights that mean something.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I got a little bit of a rundown of how this card kind of shaped up in defense of the UFC. They, at one point or another, had Luis Smolka against Jose Quinones. Lavinia Souza withdrew, and Kanako Murata was able to continue fighting, but Kanako Murata's original opponent was supposed to be Olivia Souza. So Randa Marcos takes the L, 30-27 across the board. You know, she was one of the ones stepping in. Julian Marquez and Saperbeg Safarov, that just fell apart on day of, if I'm not mistaken. So that sucked. Or maybe the day before, botched wake up on the part of Safarov. Marquez hasn't fought in 2.5 years. Imagine how pissed off he is.
Excuse me. Oh, gotta be fuming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Andreas Mikolaitis, he withdrew from Antonio Arroyo's fight. And so Antonio Arroyo, if I'm not mistaken, was supposed to fight Eric Anders. And then Eric Anders had weight cut issues, so he couldn't go. We mentioned Islam Makhachev. He withdrew, you know, with 1 week to go. Paul Felder stepped in for him. He had a staph infection, I believe is what we heard. Brian Barberina, remember, he was going to fight Daniel Rodriguez. And him and Mark Coleman both appeared on our social media pages. They were undergoing surgeries about 2 weeks ago. So I think the UFC does make an honest effort, you know, as they plan things out. But when it takes a hit, sometimes you can be left with, you know, a regional card.
Yeah.
But luckily they got the roster, man. Paul Felder versus RDA made it a proper card.
Oh, yeah. If you just would have kept one or even two of those that fell off, I think it would have been a really, really fun night.
Patricio Freire defended his belt against Pedro Carvalho. One first-round pick, KO punch. Beautiful punch, actually. And in the process of defending his title, he moves on to the semifinals on his side of the bracket for the Featherweight Grand Prix that started off with 16 athletes, and now they're down to four. Emmanuel Sanchez defeated Daniel Weichel. So now they evened up the score, except Weichel is on the short end because when he won, there wasn't a million at stake. Emmanuel Sanchez advances. He's in play. Yaroslav Amosov sandwiched in between. He defeated Logan Storley. It was a battle of the undefeated, and it went to a split decision. But Amosov is now 25-0 overall, 6-0 in the UFC. Look for some possible love towards him in this week's rankings. I threw it at the editors. Let's see what they say. And Aaron Pico, Kerry Taylor Melendez also got wins on the undercard.
Pitbull is looking really, really good. And there's more and more talks about how he would fare in other organizations. And if I'm Bellator, I have to remember what happened with Michael Chandler. And I don't think you want to be that promotion where you build fighters up and then your fighters leave and go somewhere else. So they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to bring people over to keep this guy busy. And they're going to want to keep him happy, because I think when they hear that type of talk, it probably makes them nervous at this point after what happened with Michael Chandler.
Speaking of fighters moving over, Fabricio Werdum, we just got the word right before we were going on live. He's moving to PFL. And we thought for sure Fabricio Werdum and Fedor Emelianenko were going to mix it up over at Bellator, run it back, like they say. But Fabricio Werdum has decided to become a member of the 2021 season. Remember, they go by seasons. So they're starting up in April. They're going to have, fights with, they call it regular season fights, amongst 8 or 12 in your division. And then the top eight advance to a playoff system where they have quarterfinals and semifinals in one night. Then they have finals on December 31st. So PFL is unique in the way they do it. They missed out on this season because when the pandemic, you know, just burst upon the scene, PFL said, oh, we can't do this. Especially because a lot of the things they were doing was based back in New York and New Jersey, and those states were getting hit hard. But, yeah, huge signing for them, huh?
Very big. And I have to imagine a guy with the experience of Fabricio Verdum. And, I mean, people love the guy. He probably came with a hefty price tag. But I feel like this is the guy that's going to deliver for them. He's very charismatic. He's one of the best guys in the world on the ground. So, I at the end of the day, I think it is a good signing for them.
Goes, you know, this is normally the time where I would come in and talk about Manscaped's lawnmower, all right, the 3.0. But guess what? I'm what? So trim and tidy. I want to talk about some of the other products that they have as well.
Go for it.
And I think I'm going to need I'm starting to get a little addicted to the ball deodorant. These are props here. They still haven't been opened because I have others upstairs, but those are starting to wind down. So I'm going to have to start opening these up pretty soon. But I want to talk about a couple other products because, again, this bad boy has gotten the job done. I mean, you don't need to go in there every day, but it's really, really good. The Lawnmower 3.0, part of the Manscaped product line. They got cologne as well, all right? It's called Refined. It's their Refined cologne. And I do want to get my hands on that because I'm running a little bit low. And you know what? I don't know if this happens to me every year or what, but – right around the time of Christmas is when I start to run down a little bit on my colognes. And I usually go to the mall here in Las Vegas and just go, all right, give me the Hugo Boss, give me this one, give me that one, you know. And because they usually have pretty good deals. But I think I'm going to look into the Refined cologne. And then the foot duster. Guys, it's important. It's important to also take care of your feet. You know, I used to take it so far that every once in a while I would get a pedicure. Just because you don't want some nasty dogs. And as you get older, taking care of your feet is very, very important. So the Footbuster and Refined Cologne, man, there's lots that's offered by Manscaped.
I want to shout out Anna from Portland, one of our listeners. She took it upon herself to just go out and buy it for her man. She didn't even give him the option. She said, here. And she got him a nice little package from Manscaped. And, you know, That's here domestically, but internationally, our UK audience, Australia, Canada, it's time to hop on that Manscaped bandwagon. And look, guys, for a limited time, subscribers get not one, but two free gifts. The Shed Travel Bag, it's a $39 value, and the patented high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped Boxers. 20% off, free shipping. All you got to do is insert the code JUNKIENATION at Manscaped.com. That's all you gotta do. It doesn't get any easier than that, George.
Give your testies the besties. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code JUNKIENATION. JUNKIENATION at manscaped.com. That's right. 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use JUNKIENATION. Don't get bogged. Trim your hog with Manscaped. All right. So Chaos Williams is going to be joining us soon. He is a welterweight who got a big win over Abdul Razak Al-Hassan. So stay tuned for that. Also, just to avoid any confusion, ONE Championship did have a show last week. It was embargoed. It was filmed 2 weeks ago. But John Lineker got a big win. That's two wins for him out at ONE Championship. Speaking of guys that used to miss weight, probably cost him a title shot at one point.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, he's rebounded and he's fighting in a promotion that has the hydration system, meaning he fights, they want him to weigh in at 145, but he's considered a bantamweight. So same thing, they still have to keep a certain level of hydration, which is very, very important, but they consider you basically a bantamweight, even though you're weighing in at 145. So it's similar to John Lineker, pretty much dipping down to make 135 and then rehydrating to 145 or 150 or whatever. They want to avoid that excessive weight cut. but they also want you to fight, you know, at the division that they feel that you should be at. So they have what's called the hydration weigh-in. Sorry, I'm stumbling here because I don't know exactly what it is, but I know it's called hydration weigh-ins. Eddie Alvarez talked about it with us as well. You know, he hovers around 170. DJ Demetrius Johnson told us, yeah, I'm a flyweight, but guess what? I'm never going to make 125 again. I'm done with that. He's been powerlifting. Check out our interview there on youtube.com/MMAJunkieVideo, where all the interviews that we do are housed completely from start to finish. Recent additions, Daniel Cormier, Misha Tate, Tim Means, that went up, Benson Henderson. No, but seriously, I've always thought about that. That's pretty cool. So you'll never see them break all the way down, you know, Demetrius to 125 and then rehydrate to 135, 138, 140. No, they just said, come in at a hydrated 135. Your weight cut will not be excessive. Well, for Lineker, it's 145, one division above, but pretty interesting.
Yeah, I like the way they do that. I still don't understand it 100%, but when you think about the rule set at one championship, man, protecting that brain is very, very important. And I'm glad that they're proactive in a lot of those types of things at one championship to have fighter safety.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, look, a little bit of news out there while we wait for Chaos Williams. Check out these fight bookings. I love fight bookings, guys. That's actually one of the reasons I used to always go to the websites that I frequented when I was younger and the sport was still starting out. It was, you know, Sure Dog, Full Contact Fighter, MMA Weekly. But what you wanted to see was who's next. You know, it was only happening a few times a year, the fights. You know, the UFC, maybe five fight cards, Pride. And you wanted to see who's next, who's in, who's out. But, you know, that's what I like the most. Of course, now we're a full actual news outlet in the sport of mixed martial arts covering everything. So you'll see a lot of great, you know, stuff there on our page. A lot of great content, social media content, rankings, videos, this, that, whatever. But, man, I'm still old school, and I love popping in and just seeing two names, Reem versus Alexander Volkov, Super Bowl weekend. Legit, you know? I mean, that makes sense. Those are two big names that are going to be at the top of a bill. Let's do it. Carlos Condit versus Matt Brown. Hey, they've been trying to make that one for a long time. I'm in. Two guys that deserve to still be fighting because they can still fight. They've shed a lot of blood and tears over the years as they start to wind down. But, hey, let's see what these two got. And then we see Alexander Rakic versus Thiago Santos yet again. I mean, I can just look into that and see what the UFC's thinking. I know that loss to Teixeira's got to be bugging Thiago Santos because a lot of fighters after, you know, a beatdown like that take some time off or at least take some time off before just deciding they want to fight again. But he's already booked to fight Alexander Rakic. So three big bookings made over the weekend.
Yeah, I like him. You know, come on, the Condit Brown fight, nothing's going to get solved there, but it's a fan-friendly fight. It's something that people have been wanting to see. It's two guys that are kind of relatively in the same spots in their careers. So I'm totally down for that. And the other two are beautiful. It's beautiful matchmaking because it does make sense. And they're good fights. They're quality fights.
Who do you like? Who are your early leans?
I don't like that Santos has taken a fight so quickly. I don't like him in that fight, to be honest with you. And then Matt Brown, if Carlos Condit can fight the way he fought the last fight, I would take Carlos Condit in that one. And then when it comes to Alistair Overeem, he's actually one of my favorite fighters, but I rarely pick him just because he's just inconsistent. So I don't know. I rarely.
On a 4-5 win streak, right?
Huh?
Now he's on a 4-5 win streak.
Now, yeah. He does that, though, in his career, no?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, he's usually come up short in the big fights in the UFC. That said, he's also come up big in a lot of big – he doesn't really have tune-up fights or tomato cans. You know, he's always – all of his fights have always kind of been big. But I'm talking about either that title fight or the contender fight. He's been a champion in other promotions and in other sports, to be fair.
He's one of the most decorated mixed martial art or combat sports athletes of all time. When you put everything together, it's an amazing career. It really is. Just all the organizations he's fought for, when you involve kickboxing and MMA, dude's been a beast. And he's been successful everywhere he's gone. There's been guys that come in and they don't have a good run. You know, Wanderlei Silva in the UFC did not have the greatest run of all time. But Alistair Overeem has been pretty successful everywhere he went.
During the intro, I paused for a second because I did say MMA Junkie Radio is the official radio show of MMA Junkie, five-time winners of the World MMA Awards. Well, we are. That part's true. But Hablemos MMA has launched in the past 3 months or so. So they're also an official radio show podcast of MMA Junkie. And I didn't in no way want to slight them as, hey, it's just us. And, there's a little cute show you can catch. No, man, Danny Segura's working his butt off. And he's been talking to some big name fighters, especially the Shevchenko sisters who fight this weekend. Valentin and Shevchenko, the flyweight champ. She was a recent guest of Danny Segura. He also caught up with Cynthia Calvillo. So check that out. It drops on Mondays. It's also an official radio show podcast of MMA Junkie, the five-time winners of the World MMA Awards for Best Media Source. So I definitely want to include that. I don't know that I really gave my thoughts on Fabricio Werdum, and I wanted to do that. I'm disappointed that we won't get to see Fedor and Werdum run it back.
You are?
Yeah, because look, it was historical. Fedor really hadn't lost, aside from the technical loss they had given him to TK back in Japan years ago, but that none of us really held against him, similar to John Jones's technical loss to Matt Hamill. So it was pretty historic. And look, Fabricio won fair and square. Fedor was in one submission, I remember, and then elected to go back, you know, when he was out, and, you know, he got caught, man. There's just no way around it. I'm not the biggest fan of rematches, but this one just seems like it kind of makes sense. Both of them aging, but still performing. Fedor wants to get it back. Fabricio's so, like, open to saying, hey, okay, let's do it in Russia, I guess, when the pandemic's over, or we can create a safe zone. He seems like a team player wherever he is, and it seems like a fun, healthy rivalry. But I don't know. It'd be kind of interesting to see if Fedor could get it back. And it doesn't seem to interrupt anything that's going on at the top. I mean, Ryan Bader's still their champ. Whoever's next. I mean, it wasn't going to be Werdum, you know, just coming over from the UFC. He is coming off a win, technically, but I don't think he was just going to walk into a title shot. It would have been nice if he joined Bellator. I wouldn't have been opposed to it, but I like Verdun's strategy. I'm going to get paid well during a season-long campaign. You know, I got to make up for some time. Remember, he took a 2-year suspension a few years ago. So now I can maybe get in 3 fights there, and paydays, including one of them being $1 million. That's pretty attractive.
Yeah. I'd have to say that Werdum since then has gotten better. So I think this is an even tougher matchup for Fedor at this point in his career. I kind of want to see Fedor take new matchups, you know, especially if we're not going to see him very much after this. I think after this, he said he had one more, right? Mm-hmm. So I would want to see a fresh matchup. I'm not hating on the fight. I think it would be fun. And, you know, especially if there's fans, boy, when you hear Fedor's music and all that and see the entrance that Bellator does, you get into it no matter who's there. But yeah, I'm okay with it.
Anybody that wants PFL to go away, you got something else coming, man, because they just keep signing fighters and they just keep putting their plans forward. Looks like we're going to be connecting here with Chaos Williams in just a second.
The Counter, an NFL podcast from USA Today Sports. featuring For the Win's Steven Ruiz and Chris Corman.
I know people are like just assuming that this is an upgrade at the quarterback position, but I don't think we could say that for a fact. I'd say it's a downgrade.
He never really had game-to-game impact, just coming off the edge and destroying people that we thought when we saw his athleticism in college and at the combine. And
The Counter, diving deeper into the NFL with advanced stats, film study, and expert guests. This is The Counter.
Listen and subscribe to The Counter on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
What's going on?
All right, folks, there he is, Chaos Williams, who defeated Abdul Razak Al-Hassan this past Saturday at UFC Fight Night 183, looking sharp. What's going on, Chaos? How are you?
Thank you, man. I'm pretty good, man. You know, blessed.
Oh, yeah. I like them shades, man. I was scoping them out. I was on the gram there. And for one, I mean, that's your style, man. Your style is, I got a lot of flash, you know, a lot of class, top-notch suit you were wearing. Is that something you've always done? Like, even since you were a kid, you were always the best-dressed kid in school?
No, you know, it's something that, you know, I kind of adopted, man. You know, when I was coming up, like when I was coming up, I really didn't have too much. You know what I mean? So when I started to make money and have my own money, that's when I really started to, you know, switch my wardrobe up. You know, and I told myself, like, you know, it's up to me.
Yeah, man. No, you know, I love it when I see a lot of the athletes come in all suited up, looking spiffy. So right away, that was the first one I saw on Instagram. But look, let's talk about the big KO on Saturday. I wanted to ask you, I've watched it many times because it doesn't take long to rewatch a 30-second fight. No disrespect to Mr. Al-Hassan. It could have very easily been him, you know, in this position. You guys are both heavy hitters.
Right.
Are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still with y'all.
Okay. We can't see you for some reason.
Oh there you are.
Okay. So I wanted to ask you, it looked like I wanted to say like a faint jab was starting to come out, but I noticed both hands came out for a second, and then you pulled back the right, recoiled, and dropped it. Now, what I was curious was, were you trying to time his naked leg kick that was going to come in, which Boss Rudin's always saying, do not throw kicks to start a combo because you can get countered quickly. What was exactly going on at that particular moment? It all happened so fast, and again, I've watched it, but I can't figure it out.
Yeah, you know, when he threw that kick, I was just checking it with it too. You know, I wasn't even going for the knockout, and I was following it with a hook. You know, so it was just the motion. You know, just muscle memory, really, just muscle memory.
Yeah, you know, and another thing was it looked like the speed obviously worked in your favor there because you guys got in that strike zone, we'll say, right? Where a lot of fighters, when they meet, one of them might retreat, especially if they want to counter in some sort of way. They'll use their footwork. But there was no hesitation once you got there. I think you basically made the decision before he did to throw the power punch. Was that something like that was more – that was more instinctual, right? Or was that something you maybe even prepped for to be within like a phone booth fighting distance?
Yeah, I definitely prepped for everything. You know, I definitely prepped, but it was instinct too. You know, it was instinct. I knew, like I said, going into the fight, I knew what type of fight it was going to be, and my main thing was just show him what I know before he give me a chance to show him what he know. You get what I mean? Like, I just wanted to show him what I knew before he gave me a chance to show me what he knew. You get what I'm saying? So it was just like I was just going to be first. You know, I was going to set the pace, go in there and just do me.
Tell me something. How many texts did you get this weekend? Your phone must have been blowing up. That replay, that highlight's been showing everywhere.
Yeah, my phone's still blowing up as we speak. it's crazy because I turned my phone off, and I put it on airplane mode. So as soon as I turned it off airplane mode, it just blowing up. I mean, like it restarted on me. It restarted on me, man. My phone's about to blow up. Still to this day, man, I let it die that night. Woke up, as soon as I put on the charger, it was still blowing up. Like, as soon as I turned it on, man, people was calling me.
You have stated that you want to make an impact in your community. What do you want to tell young kids that see a KO like that? It's not just the flash and the beauty of the KO. Can you talk about the hard work that went in before those 30 seconds of competition?
Yeah, definitely, man. You know, like I always say, you know, I just don't want to, you know, I just don't want to make an income. I want to make an impact at the end of the day, because people, they see the finishing product. They see the glitz and glamour. They see the win. They see, you know, they see me on ESPN and stuff like that, but they don't see, you know, the hard work and dedication. You know, they don't see when I was at the bottom. You know, I had to get out the mud. And, you know, it was a lot of people who didn't believe in me. You know, it was a lot of people who didn't believe in me. I had to believe in myself. You know, I didn't have a lot of money to start off. I didn't have a lot of resources. You know, I didn't have a lot. You get what I mean? I didn't come from a rich family or nothing like that. I had to make it. I just had to believe in myself, and I made it happen. So for everybody, like for the youth and stuff like that, you know, if you want to dream, if you got a dream, you know, you just got to believe in yourself. You just got to put the work in. That's it. Because anything possible, but you just got to put the work in. You know, that's what you really want to. That's really the message I want to get out there. You know, you just got to put the work in, and it starts with you. You know, it starts with you. If you can't believe it, then who else gonna believe it? You know.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Now, Chaos, 30 seconds, that's quick. And like George said, you put in so much work in the camps, fighters do to get ready for these types of fights. Was 30 seconds enough for you to get the release of everything you put into this fight? Is there like a little piece of you that wished it went maybe a minute or two?
No, definitely not, man. The sooner the better.
Sooner the better?
Yeah, the sooner the better.
Now, what about when people describe you? We hear knockout artist. But we all know that, of course, you know, you got knockouts, but you're a mixed martial artist. It takes right. A full game to be where you're at. Is there a little piece of you that wants to kind of show that those other pieces of the game off a little bit and show everyone that you are a complete mixed martial artist?
I mean, you know, the time gonna come. You know, I'm a well-rounded fighter. I know I'm a well-rounded fighter. At the end of the day, you know, I continue to just get better every day. And, you know, the time gonna come where, you know, I'm gonna be in those battles where I'm going 15 minutes or I'm going 25 minutes. And, you know, the people are going to see it. So and for now, you know, if I can get in there and get it done quick, hey, you know, ain't nothing wrong with that.
You've actually both scenarios where you knock someone out and the roar of the crowd is deafening. Had mm-hmm. it where there's no crowd. Did you miss it a little bit? Did it feel a little different for you?
Yeah, it felt a little different. But at the same time, you know, it was still my main thing was, you know, just going there and do what I had to do. You know, we still getting paid the same. That's all that really mattered. But if that crowd was there, oh my God, like they would have went crazy.
Chaos, I wanted to ask you, how good does it also feel that you started a career, and let's be honest, because I mean, if you tell me otherwise, I stand corrected. But most MMA fighters, when they start down that journey, usually there's a family member or some friends that go, come on, you know, is that really what you want to do? Our sport's kind of, you know, it's still not established like that. There's doubts, you know, but you've not only gotten to the UFC, you've made quick work of everything of everyone that you faced in the UFC. So has now anybody that ever doubted your career choice or your skills, have things changed just with these two fights in the UFC versus everything else you had done in your career before then?
I mean, definitely, you know, like everybody love you when you're winning, you know, everybody love you when you're winning. It's crazy, like you said that, because a lot of people, they did doubt me. They didn't expect me to be here. When I was telling people I was about to blow, when I was telling people, you know, I was going to get to the UFC or that was my goal, a lot of people were hating, you know. They didn't think I was going to be here, especially doing what I'm doing now. You get what I'm saying? Like doing what I'm doing now and the way I'm doing it in the top level of competition. Yeah, I definitely had haters. But like I always say, when it come with life, you know. You got the congratulators, but you also got the haters. And I definitely had some people who, on the way up, you know, they just couldn't see it. They couldn't see the vision, you know. And, you know, God bless those people as well. But, you know, they were just sleeping on my potential.
I wanted to ask you about African-American kids who grow up playing, you know, different sports, but now MMA in the last 27, 28 years, it's here. It's an option. Now, when it comes to combat sports, boxing usually led the way, but you see a lot of African Americans doing well at collegiate wrestling and then going on and representing the United States and now mixed martial arts. What do you see in the young brothers that come up to you? Like, are they now asking you, you know, do you see like a little bit more love for MMA at the younger ages? And could we start to see more African American kids rise through and be MMA stars, I guess?
See, that's up to them. You know, I feel like God got a calling and a purpose for everybody, you know, and they just got to play their position. You know, I feel like this is my calling. This is what God called me to do outside of real estate and stuff like that. This is what I love to do. This is, you know, what gives me drive in the morning. You know, what I'm happy to do. I just feel like I'm made for it. When I get in there and the lights on me, you know, I just turn into Superman, Clark Kent, just turn into Superman, you know. But I feel like as far as the other kids, you know, if God called him to do it, and you know that's what they want to do, you know, it's there, you know. But my thing is this, man. I feel like in life you just don't want to force anything, you know. It's just like if you was to look at life and look at it as a football field, and you know, Tom Brady, he a great quarterback, right? So me, I'm a great fighter. So I look at it like this: if you a great quarterback, be a quarterback. You don't want to be a quarterback and try to be a running back. You get what I mean? So ain't no difference in life. If you a great basketball player, be a great basketball player. You know, if you a great, you know, whatever it may be, whatever God called you to do, that's what it is. But as far as a lot of kids coming up, if this is what God called them to do and this is what they love to do, you know, of course they can continue to do good. But you know, this is simple, but it's not easy, man. Fighting is simple, but it's not easy. So, you know, especially like being on TV, being on ESPN. You know, a lot of people, they fold under pressure. You know, one thing about me, I don't fold under pressure. I perform better with it on me. So, you know, it's really up to them. You know, it's really up to God, man.
Well, he's certainly delivered as of late. And for those of you that are wondering, hey, I wonder if he can break his 30-second record. He has. In his last four fights, two of them were stopped at 27 and at 24. So this is just what have you done for me lately? Chaos gets down. You going to break Masvidal's record one day?
Hey, man, Masvidal record, man, that's a pretty hard record to break. What was it, like 4 seconds, 5 seconds?
Yeah, hey, 5 seconds.
Anything possible, though. Anything possible. That would be
I think Conor McGregor was trying to break it when he fought Cowboy Cerrone. I think McGregor, I call him a swagger jacker sometimes because, you know, you see somebody else getting the shine and he gets in there. But, you know, whatever. When McGregor came out, he kind of like inched closer, you know, when they were like saying, are you ready? He kind of inched closer, and then he threw a huge left that would have knocked out Cerrone, I think, if he connected. But I'm wondering what it's going to take. We were just talking about Fabricio Werdum, former UFC heavyweight. He just signed with PFL, but he used to also run at people and kind of do a kung fu kick. What do you think is the best move to get in there and knock someone out in either 5 seconds or 4 seconds? What's the best striking attack?
Man, shoot. I mean, really that knee, man. I feel like yeah, man, how Masvidal did that knee, man, that'll probably be it, man, just running at him and that knee.
Yeah, it's a thing of beauty. Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
All right, listen, Chaos, one last thing here. You got me a little interested. You said another thing that you love is real estate. Can you tell me a little bit about real estate? Like, what do you got going on over there?
Yeah, so I've been doing real estate for 3 years now, based out of Detroit, Michigan. With one of my partners, AAA Real Estate, you know, and, you know, we have a few properties together, got 3 properties together that we need to just finish getting renovated. And so my thing is, that's what I started doing before I got to the UFC, you know, and I feel like God just called me to do that as well, you know, especially in Detroit. The Detroit market is like no other, you know. We able to get homes for cheap, you know, affordable prices, unlike no other, man. The market is different. Like, being out here in California or Vegas and stuff like that, man, we got homes that's like out of our reach at the moment. You know what I mean? As opposed to being in Detroit, you can, you know, get houses for thousands of dollars.
Oh, wow. Okay. Could one say you're flipping houses, or do you invest in them for a while and then wait for the market and the price to be adequate to your liking and then sell it?
Nah, flipping right now. But eventually, you know, I want to get that residual income. You know, eventually I want to continue to further my career in the UFC, get more money, you know, take that money, invest it, you know, just make some more money. And yeah, get them
very impressive
rental properties going on. You know, trying to build
awesome,
that wealth.
Man, that's awesome.
I'm trying to build that wealth, you know.
You said it, residual income, because you can't do this forever, but if you can invest a lot of your money from prize fighting into something like real estate, that'll take you a long way. And then that way you can just float from one career to the next and not be one of those fighters that, you know, maybe didn't do, or athletes, I should say. I shouldn't just pick on fighters. There's been a lot of athletes from many sports that have just blown through all their cash, and then at the end they have nothing to show for it, man. That's sad. You know what I mean?
Definitely, man, because, hey, when we getting this money, you know, we getting this money, man, it's easy to spend it, man. You know what I mean? I got an expensive taste. See my? Can you see me?
Yeah.
Hello.
I think it's all them texts that are blowing up your phone from the chaos. Yeah, there you are. There you are.
Dang.
We can see you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were talking about your expensive taste in fashion. Chaos, you there?
Man, my shit tripping. Hello?
Can you hear us?
I can't hear y'all.
Okay. I think it's because you're getting incoming calls and texts. It might be buffering the...
I can't hear y'all.
Okay. Can you hear us now? Can you hear us now? Okay. All right. Well, listen, sometimes that happens when we connect this way, folks. So apologies. But that is Chaos Williams, who had an outstanding performance this past Saturday. And it was really cool to see him talk about, you know, the other things he wants to do with his life. And that's invest in real estate, residual income. That's something you guys will learn about in school. You younger kids, it's important to have. And flipping houses is definitely one way to do it. But anyway, thanks to Chaos Williams for his time. We got to be bouncing pretty soon as well. Is he coming back in, Goes, or was that it?
I think that's it.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll be make sure to reach out to him and thank him for his time. Yeah. Look, man, 27 seconds, 24 seconds, 30 seconds. I mean, get your hands up, folks. Get your hands up and figure out what you want to do. Oh, there he is. Hey, can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm back, man. I had to do it all over again. I don't know what happened.
Okay, all right. It's cool. Thank you. Thanks for popping back in, Chaos. Yeah. We were just getting ready to wrap up anyway, but I think you wanted to finish your thought. You were saying you got some expensive taste, so you want to make
sure. Yeah. I was saying, yeah, man. You know, I got some expensive taste, man. As you can see from my Instagram, man. You know, I like to shop at the Gucci store, stuff like that, man. You know, you know, I got to, like you said, man. You know, them suits ain't cheap neither, man. You know, so I got to keep getting these bonuses. You know.
Hey, what's the most you'll pay for a suit? The most I'll pay is $500. I ain't paying more than that, but I don't have expensive taste. How about you?
I pay $1,000. I pay about a good $1,000.
Okay. That'll work.
$1,000 suits.
What about your shades? That looks like it's about $1,000 too. Those are nice.
Nah, man. Yeah, man. He's about two, you know what I'm saying, about $2,300.
Woohoo, man. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. These Cartiers right here, man. These white buffalo horns. You know, got the buffs on, man.
Dope. What about watch? What's the limit on that? 40K?
Huh?
30?
Oh, you said what I got? I got a Day-Day Rolex.
Okay, nice. Damn, to be a prize fighter and be young, I'm jealous. Anyway, hey, thanks so much for popping back in. It was really cool for us to be able to finish the interview. We just wanted to congratulate you again on your big win over Abdul Razak Al Hassan.
Yeah, thank you, Chaos.
Okay, folks. Our show is now coming to an end. Thank you very much for all of you for your time. We appreciate it. We'll catch you on another MMA Junkie Radio show. Thursday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Go out there and be a champion.